Just think how good they'll be if they have a couple more lessons. We're going to look at the last part of Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul's model prayer. Ephesians chapter 3. Remember the way Paul writes his books. The first part is doctrine. The second half is duty. The first part is belief. The second half is behavior. So this is the last part of what we're supposed to believe. This is a prayer beginning in verse 14 going through verse 21. And so, a model prayer. Paul's in prison. He's writing prison prayers, and Paul is concerned about the condition of the inner person, the inner man. Not outer space, but inner space. In Philippians, this is what he prays. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. This I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. That was his prayer for the Philippians. Colossians 1, chapter 9, this prayer. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You may walk worthy of the Lord with all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And so if you look at the prayers in the Bible, it's a lesson on how do we pray for each other? How do we look out for each other spiritually? And if we're not going to pray for each other, nobody else is going to pray for us. Nobody out there is going to be praying for us if we don't pray for ourselves and pray for each other. And so these are lessons. The prayers in the Bible are usually short. They're not long. They're very much to the point. Paul is also dealing with the struggle. If you look at Paul in Romans chapter 7, I do not understand my own actions. I'm baffled, bewildered. I do not practice what I want, but I do the very thing I don't want. It's no longer I that do the deed, but sin that's at home in me. I know that nothing good dwells within me, that it is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have good intentions and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. For I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do, but the evil deeds I do not desire to do are what I end up doing. Boy, does that sound familiar. In the Living Bible, which I'm not a real fan of, but I like the way they put this, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, those are the very things I end up doing. Yeah, that's living the Christian life. But how does he end it up? Oh, happy, pitiable, pitiable, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Thank God who gives me the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the situation he's going to write about in this prayer. He prays it for them, and we need to pray it for each other. Many things are backwards in the Christian life. Let me read this to you. Exalting yourself lowers you. Lowering yourself raises you. To keep what you have is to lose it, but to give it away is to keep it. To find that your life, you find your life is to lose it, but to lose your life is to find it. Abundance brings poverty, but poverty can bring abundance. Freedom leads to slavery, but slavery leads to freedom. Cleverness can be folly. Foolishness of God is wisdom. Strength leads to weakness. Weakness brings strength. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. In a lot of ways, the way God thinks is backward from the way we think. So there are three parts here. There's the person of prayer, the petition of prayer, and then there's the praise of prayer. So look at verses 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, the person of prayer. For this cause, because of this, because he's been made a minister, the message is the unsearchable riches of Christ. The message is the love of God, the forgiveness of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. Because of this, I bow my knees unto the Lord and Savior, the Father of Jesus Christ, for this cause, on account of this. There are four things here in these two verses. First of all, I bow my knees. How did Jews pray, by the way? Jews, and you read the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in the temple. Jews stood up and looked into heaven with their hands raised. This is the way Jews prayed. They prayed standing up with their eyes open. I'm not sure where we got the idea of every head bowed and every eye closed, except Billy Graham used to say that all the time. Okay? You know what Chuck Messler says? Let's pray. Let's bow our hearts. That's not a bad thing to say. Let's bow our hearts and pray. But Jews stood there with their eyes open, they're standing up with their hands up in the air. Okay, we're Baptists, we don't raise our hands, but anyway. Well, we don't, okay. He bows his knees. For this cause I bow my knees. Now, a Jew did that when they were in trouble. A Jew did that when they were desperate. For this cause I bow my knees unto God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ezra, leading the great revival in Ezra 9:5, Ezra got on his knees. David, in 1 Chronicles 17, he sat down and prayed in the presence of God. Stephen kneeled when he was being stoned in Acts chapter 7. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 27, it said, Jesus fell on his face and prayed, not my will but thine be done. Jesus fell on his face on the ground. And Daniel kneeled three times a day. That's how they caught him. They had the king issue an edict that for 30 days everybody had to pray to this idol, because they knew Daniel got down on his knees and prayed three times a day at his house. And so they were watching. And sure enough, even though that command came out, Daniel went and kneeled and prayed three times a day. And they arrested him and threw him in the lion's den, which didn't work, as you know the story. Kneeling. The call to worship this morning, Psalm 95. Let us bow down to the Lord God, our Maker. Kneeling. Paul is kneeling. I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who's he praying to? Obviously, postures don't matter. You pray with your eyes open, pray with your eyes closed, pray standing up, pray sitting down, pray laying down, pray kneeling, whatever. Posture doesn't matter to God. Does God hear you better if you're on your knees? I don't think so. I think sometimes it helps people to be on their knees, but I don't think God listens harder because you're on your knees. But who do we pray to? We pray to the Father. That's what Paul says here. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't pray to Jesus. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to God. Ooh, boy, that messes with some people. What did Jesus teach us in the Lord's Prayer? Matthew 6:9. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray to God the Father. In fact, the book of Revelation says the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God and Jesus. So all these people running around praying to the Holy Spirit, are they really doing it right? Some people say, man, you're being picky this morning. I don't know. You can be biblical. You can be wrong. Who does the Bible say we're supposed to pray to? God. So, yeah, I've had people tell me I'm picky. That's okay. You know what? Most of the people that criticize me, I've outlived them. I plan to outlive most of them, okay? So people who were mean to me when I was young, they're not around anymore. So I get the last laugh, okay? Yeah, we pray to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says we do. We pray to God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, I always, you know, Eileen and I were in Auburndale at a thrift shop, and we're talking to the guy. He had a big cross on. And I say, well, what church do you go to? And he named some church. And I said, well, what do you believe? Oh, we don't have any doctrine. We just love Jesus. Boy, that boils my potatoes, all right? That just, ugh, don't ever do that to me. So I said, which one? He said, what do you mean, which one? I said, well, the Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses is Michael the Archangel. The Jesus of the Mormons is the brother of Lucifer. The Jesus of the New Age is just a man that was a great medium to the spirit world and had visions. The Jesus, a Christian Scientist, was a human man that the Christ Spirit came on at his baptism and left him when he was dying on the cross. Which Jesus? Don't complicate people. I love it when they say, we don't have doctrine. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You just don't want to use that word. What do you believe about Jesus? He was the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, paid the perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross. He died on the cross on our place. He rose again. He is the head of the church. He is coming back again. What do you believe about Jesus? That basically sums a lot of it up. Lord Jesus Christ. Which God? Ooh, there's all kinds of gods in the world. Jesus said there'll be many Christs to come, many antichrists that come. There'll be many deceivers come. Boy, Reverend Moon came. He claimed to be Jesus come a third time. Because God's plan, you know the Moonies, the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity? That was their official name. It's easier to say Moonies. Reverend Moon said God's plan was for Jesus, a perfect man, to marry a perfect woman, have perfect kids. That was going to be the kingdom of God on earth, but Judas messed it up and Jesus got killed. So now Reverend Moon was Jesus come a third time. There's a book about that called Lord of the Second Advent. Of course, Reverend Moon, I don't know, he didn't make it. I don't know where the Moonies are now. Reverend Moon died. So, we bow our knees. We pray to the Father. He is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the Father of us all. Father, family, of whom the whole family in the heaven and the earth is named. Do you realize that if you want to look at fatherhood, you got to look at God? God is the ultimate Father. He's not just the Father of the human race. He is the Father of heaven, of earth, and the universe. John Trapp said, the Father of all fatherhood in heaven and earth. All the fatherhood is a copy of God. The Father, the originator, the begetter of all things. God originated everything in heaven and in earth. So he is the Father with a capital, the. Yeah, he is the Father of everything. God the Father. So this is the person of prayer. Who are we praying to? And when you pray to God, you know that God is never surprised. You're not going to say anything that surprises God. We're not going to do anything that surprises God. God knows it all. And God is able to handle any situation. I was really upset one time. I went to a friend of mine, and my friend just shook his head and said, Wade, sorry about that, but God's not knocked off his throne because of this. God's still on his throne. Yeah, so we are the children of God. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. We're the children of God, not by birth, but rebirth. You must be born again. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for our sins on the cross. He wants to forgive our sins, and if we ask him into our heart, he will forgive us and give us the gift of eternal life. We're the children of God by rebirth, not by birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's why we can call him Abba. That was a new thing revealed by Jesus. Abba is the word for daddy in Aramaic. God is not just Father, but he's daddy. He's our daddy. There was a little boy on a military base, and someone told him, hey, did you hear that your father just got promoted to general? So now we call him general. And the little boy said, do you think he would mind if I still called him daddy? God is the creator of the universe. He is over all, and yet he doesn't mind that we call him daddy. The person of prayer, God, the petition of prayer. Look at verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Strengthened with might in your inner man. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day, our inner man. First of all, verse 16 says God's going to give us strength. The Phillips translation, J.B. Phillips translates it this way, the strength of the Spirit's reinforcement. The Holy Spirit reinforces God working on the inside of us. It is God that worketh to will and to do of his good pleasure. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Strength. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. God working inside us. If you study anatomy, physiology, and I haven't, some of you have nursing background, medical background, some of you know more about it than I do, but if you study the white blood cells are just moving through our body all the time. They look like big globs, like ghosts or goblins or something, big globs of white. But when there's an infection, whenever we are attacked with an infection, puncture wound, cut, whatever, those white blobs immediately go to that place and jump on it and kill it. Now, they die in the process, but they kill it. They deal with the infection. The human body fights the bad from the inside out. And if God is working in us and God is strengthening our inner person, we fight the bad stuff from the inside out. That's what God is saying. Strengthened in your inner man, that we have the fortitude and the guts and the backbone and the spiritual power to stand up for what's good and stand against that which is wrong. We fight evil from the inside out because we're strengthened in our inner man. Verse 17, love, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith and being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded, it means to settle down, to camp out, to feel at home. Permanent residence. Holy Spirit comes into your life. He's a permanent resident in your heart. He is camping out in you, permanently developing the love of God. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Rooted, trees without a taproot. It's interesting. The first trees to get blown over in a hurricane are the sand pines because they have roots just under the surface and no taproot. And of course, in a hurricane, it rains for 2 or 3 days and then the winds really blow hard. And once that ground gets soft and muddy, then it doesn't take a lot of wind to blow those trees over. They have no taproot. Paul says we should be rooted and grounded in the love of God. I went over one time. Many years ago, we don't want to talk about how long, 1968. That was a long time ago. Yeah, do the math. Went over to Cape Kennedy, only time I've ever been to Kennedy Space Center. I saw a brand new thing over there. I heated my hot dog in it, a microwave oven. I saw my first microwave over there. I guess in the 1980s, there were still people that felt like radiation from a microwave would damage your brain or something. Anyway. We looked at the vertical assembly building. They put the Saturn V rockets together inside that building. That building is so big, they have to have fans in the ceiling to circulate the air so clouds don't form inside the building and rain on the rockets. That's how big that building is, cubic feet wise. So I'm asking the tour guide, I said, if this building is this big, how deep is the foundation? And he said, the foundation of this building is 33 feet of concrete. 33 solid feet of concrete. You know what that teaches us about architecture? You cannot build higher than your foundation goes deep. You cannot build higher than your foundation goes deep. The Bible talks about being rooted and grounded in love. You cannot build higher in your life than your roots go deep. None of us can in our spiritual life. We cannot build higher then our roots go deep. So, strengthened, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passes all understanding, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Strengthened and rooted and filled. Do you notice how that covers the whole Trinity? We're strengthened by God the Father. We're rooted in Jesus Christ. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Strengthened and rooted and filled because of the love of God. So there's strength, there's love. Let me flip the page here. This is like Paul Harvey, page 3, all right? There's knowledge to know by experience. You may be able to comprehend and know with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. John Owen said, the great Puritan theologian, we are never nearer to Christ than when we find ourselves lost in the holy amazement at how much God loves us. Holy amazement. Jeremiah 31:3. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with a love that never ends. Knowledge to grasp God's love. When I was studying at Hindu University of America, my favorite professor, Dr. Sridhar, we wrote a book together that was published in India, but he climbed to the base camp of Mount Everest. He climbed up 14,000 feet, okay? And he talked about being on the side of Mount Everest. By the way, Mount Everest is still growing. The tectonic plates are still moving, and Mount Everest grows a half an inch a year, okay? So you got further to climb now than he did, all right? But he's up there at 14,000 feet on the side of Mount Everest, and he's looking at how wide the earth is. And he's looking at how broad the universe is. Look at the sky. Look at the universe. Look at the sunrise, the horizon on either side. And yet, he looked at me and said, and he's not a Christian, he's a Hindu, but he said, how big is the love of God? If we can stand on the tallest mountain in the world and see how wide everything is, he who made it must be bigger than that. How wide is God? Psalm 86:13, great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. What does the Bible teach us? Nobody is outside the love of God. Nobody. Nobody is outside the love of God. So we have strength, we have love, we have knowledge, and we have fullness. Fullness. To know the love of God which passes understanding, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. One of the biggest problems we have talking to people is we'll talk to people about Jesus and people want to look at other people. Well, I know so-and-so and they say they're a Christian. They do this and they do that, or they don't do this or they don't do that. Hey, we don't measure ourselves against anybody else. We measure ourselves against God. All the fullness of God, not people. You know, there's a verse in Corinthians that says, they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. I have a friend up in Sanford I went to high school with, and he is 6'6" and weighs 450 pounds. And I love standing next to him because he makes me feel dainty. He really does. I love to see him. Great guy, okay? Oh, gosh, if you want to feel inferior, compare yourself to someone that's better at something than you are. If you want to feel superior, compare yourself to somebody that's not as good as you are at something. There's always room to feel superior or inferior when we compare ourselves with other people. But the Bible says we're not to do that. We're to compare ourselves with God and be filled with the fullness of Jesus. Stop this comparison stuff. Luke 11:13, Jesus said, if you, and that's the sinful crowd he was talking to, the Pharisees, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to you, filled with the fullness of God? So, you've got the person of prayer, God, the petition of prayer, strength, love, knowledge, and fullness, And then the praise of prayer, this is the end of the first section of Ephesians, and it's a doxology. It's a praise to God. Look at verses 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It completes the first half of Ephesians, the duty part, the doctrine part, the belief part. He's going to go into behavior. Infinitely above our highest prayers, our highest desires, our highest thoughts, our highest hopes, our highest dreams. God is able to do above anything we can imagine. Power is the word for dynamite. Working is the word for energy in Greek. God is better to us than we deserve. God is better to us than we pray for. God is better to us than we love ourselves. God is better to us than anything we can ask or think. And that's what this doxology says. And where do we do it? Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. We get together. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said, the seat of God's praises is the church. The church is where we get together. We worship, we praise, we learn, we study, we live. It's in the church. And then it ends with an amen. The Aramaic word, amen. Let it be. And that wasn't just a Beatles song. The Beatles stole it from the Bible. Amen. Let it be. Make it so. Let it come to pass. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which you can ask or think. Amen. Let it happen for each one of us. That's what Paul is praying for. So this is the second prayer in the book of Ephesians. This is what he's praying for every one of us. There's the person of prayer, God. There's the petition of prayer. What? That we get strength, love, knowledge, and fullness. And there's the praise of prayer. Let's thank God for everything he is because of what he does for us. Amen. There was a missionary in India that went to a village. And in the middle of the village was a well and a fountain. There was a little water trickling out of the fountain. And he saw the women coming up with their jugs and filling up their jugs with water. And so he got a crowd together and started sharing with them that Jesus is the water of life. And he kept pointing to the fountain. He said, just like you need that water to live, you need Jesus, the water of life, for spiritual life, to be born again. Well, India has Muslims and Hindus. And most of the Muslims moved to East and West Pakistan. East Pakistan today is known as Bangladesh. Most of the Hindus moved south into India in 1947. But at this time, there were Muslims in the village, Muslims and Hindus. So he's preaching to the Hindus, and this Muslim decides to interrupt him. And he said, you point to that little trickle of water in the fountain, and you say that's Christianity. But Allah and Islam is a giant ocean. So the missionary said, yes, but there's a big difference. If you drink salt water, you die. But if you drink fresh water, you live. And I'm not offering you today the dying water. I'm offering you today the living water. And the living water is Jesus. Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what we offer when we stand for Jesus. We offer people the gift of eternal life. So we're going to sing our invitation hymn this morning. It's hymn number 281. Hymn number 281. Betty's going to come to the organ. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing the first and last verse. If you have a decision to make, you come and make it as we sing this hymn number 281.